It's a writing challenge. Input, output. Today on The Right to Focus, checking in with our project stage. Today we had sketching ideas and rough shape. Our word count for today was 1,100 words even. Our total word count is 21,798, going toward 33,000 words on our goal of 5,000 words per week. We've achieved 670 words extra. Yesterday, I managed an entire section of the novel very late. Today, while in the back seat heading for errands, I had some great ideas and loosely sketched them. When I had a few spare minutes this afternoon, I got the sketch into a legible form before I forgot what I had written, because my handwriting and a moving vehicle don't mix. You know, the rough shape with a few printing corrections. So what didn't become today's writing will be readable later on. I achieved my goal for yesterday and today, which means I have the goal for the week. This is great! I can focus on some proofreading tomorrow, heading to that all-day commitment that I mentioned earlier. Anything that I manage on Sunday will be bonus words. Today, while writing back, after chattering for a while, another idea popped into my head. Input, output, the title of this section. Do you know what put that idea in my head? Our usual complaints about people trying to text while driving. That started a thinking chain. Do people think anymore? Do people spend any time with just their minds, or do they have a constant need to have static going on, whether that static is music or talk radio or game apps or texting or tweeting or whatever else they have to do, instead of being in the present? When do we have time to think? Time to let our minds have a conversation with us. Time to let our minds think and give us ideas. Many people don't seem to think at all. They just react. Even their supposed actions are reactions. Often, logic is not engaged and everything is just emotion. A writer can't be only emotion. Logic is necessary to craft stories. That's lesson 45. Mulling over the drivers who are texting and the people who gripe as store clerks and the parents who are busy on their phones rather than with their children, all of these brought me to another aspect of the writer's life, the whole of the writer's life, body and heart, soul and mind. Here comes the multi-part lesson 46. Our input for our body affects our writing. Nutrition and exercise help our writing thrive in unbelievable ways. A sugar-filled, highly processed diet dulls down our entire physical system, while a balanced diet with proper protein, complex carbs, and the good fats bolster every part of our body. Exercise gets our blood and oxygen pumping, equally necessary for our brains, where the creative muse and the critical editor live side by side. Our heart can thrive when relationships bring the input of love and belonging and support. Music should lift our emotions rather than grind us down with raging sound. Entertainment should give us joy and feed our curiosity and soothe the disturbances of the everyday world. Our conscious output should be a reconnection with the natural rather than a separation through mechanical and electrical. When we commune with others, when we meditate on the universal good, when we acknowledge our wrongs and strive to improve ourselves and others, the synergies of the input-output sequence enrich our souls. Whether faith or philosophy or a religious connection, we recognize our smallness in the great tome of time. Our syllable-sized lives might appear to have little impact in the grand story of eternity, yet tiny ripples affect others far beyond what we can imagine. By the way, William Shakespeare is the first writer I know of who talked about syllable-sized lives in his famous speech from Macbeth, "Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow," to the last syllable of recorded time. He has various metaphors for our individual lives in this speech, one of which has eternity as a book and our lives as a single syllable in that book. Some syllables make sense on their own. Some need other syllables to make sense. Have your syllable make sense on its own. In looking at the dynamic of input-output, we know that our minds need this synergy just as much as the other parts of ourselves do. For artists and writers are artists with words, the synergistic flow has greater needs. We crave input just as much as output. The wrong input, however, interferes with the output. Offer the mind a mental diet of junk, and the mind will output junk. We are what we eat, someone coined a long time ago, about the same time that someone else coined no pain, no gain. We can just as easily say we are what we think, we are what we do. If you want to improve, no gain is possible without a painful cutting away of the bad. It's a simple formula. Cut the bad, live the good. Whether it's processed food or couch laziness, whether it's toxic relationships or dulling binge TV, whether it's arrogance or lust, or whether it's sensation rather than sense, bad input brings only bad output. Be in the present, even when driving the car. Be in the present, cook the food you eat rather than zapping it. Enjoy the world you're walking through. Be in the present. Bolster your loved ones. Connect with your colleagues. Spread peace into the stressed world around you. Be in the present. Know who you are and who you are not. Have realistic expectations, even as you work to improve the spheres you enter daily. Be in the present rather than trying to live distracted. I sound a little bit like a 60s hippie who believes in flower power, or a guru preaching the 12-fold way to serenity. When I wrote this post originally in 2019, it's Good Friday. The greatest redemptive act occurred on Good Friday. What small redemptive act can you do to improve your writing? Be in the present. What was my inspiration that started today? William Faulkner said, get it down. Take chances. It may be bad, but it's the only way you can do anything really good. And I ended with Candace Bushnell. I don't want to be a writer so I can write about my life. I want to be a writer to escape from it. Thanks for listening to The Write Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, hosted by M.A. Lee, with assistance from Remy Black and Edie Ruins, all from Writers, Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Show notes for this and other episodes can be found on thewritefocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com. Our podcast episodes are running short this month, but usually they last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. Daily in April, we're bookcasting Write a Book in a Month by Remy Black, 2 in the trilogy Inspiration for Writers, copyright 2020. Take lessons from today's episode and write on.